got some of those letter organizers, and it's, I think, three or four high, and the top shelf on the one side of it is prayer meeting. When I have ideas for prayer meeting, I put them there, and then the other side of that same one is for Sunday school. So I grabbed that out, and a lot of times, you know, what I have there just doesn't strike me, and I go other places, but I pulled out a pamphlet that I've had for 20 years, okay? The title, you can maybe see, the ones in the front can see it's a cross, a Bible, and what's the other book on there?
The Quran.
The Quran, right. And I got this in 2001 when the Twin Towers came down. Michael Veach is the pastor of First Bible Church on Staten Island. And he put out on the internet a plea for Bible believers to come help distribute tracts in Manhattan. They would get as close as they could to ground zero. And so the church I was pastoring at the time over in Jingle House, they responded. We took a van load of people up there. He advised us to bring some gospel tracts, which we got from Lebanon, Ohio. Oh boy. Fellowship Tract League. Okay? And we took them along. And now Michael Veach, the pastor, I don't know if he was the founder of the church, but he's been there for many, many years. He was born in New York City, but his family, his greater family involvements involved, I guess the way I'll describe it, is mafia-like connections. Mm-hmm. And his mother determined she was not going to allow him to be raised around that influence and likely be sucked into it. So she moved, I think, to Oklahoma. But wherever it was out in that direction. Well, after he grew up, became a young adult, he came back to the city. And he got saved, and I'm not sure when the salvation came in this whole story, but he got saved. He became the pastor at First Bible, and to augment his salary, the technical term for that is he was bivocational. That means the church couldn't afford to pay him, so he had to go get a job. He drove taxi in New York City, and let me tell you, that was fun following him. Now, it's good. My son-in-law, Paul Parker, was the driver of our church van because he was capable of maneuvering in the city. He pulled a trailer in through Manhattan at the busy time. And he had us, he watched his mirrors, and he had us tell him when there was a half a car length break, and he'd maneuver. Nevertheless, Brother Veach took us down as close as we could get to ground zero. And that was 20 years ago, so I don't remember how close it was. I know we went, for a half dozen additional years. One time we were taking two vans full of people. It was a great experience. And they had this pamphlet in the church. And so that caught my attention. I picked it up. And when I opened it up to read, it says about the crucifixion of Christ, fact or fiction. And this first paragraph says, one of the main controversies between Christians and Muslims is the authenticity of the crucifixion of Christ. The Quran, Surah, chapter 4, verse 157, says that Jesus was not crucified, but that another was killed in his place. And since this is a key doctrine of Christianity, we're going to look at that this morning. Well, now I read the pamphlet, I'm very comfortable with the church that it comes from. Nevertheless, I always like to try to verify. So I went online, marvelous opportunity we have today. I'm serious about that with the internet. And so I went on and I did use the search engine that I used called Start, S-T-A-R-T, Start page. This is the advertisement. It does not keep or share your data. And they use Google to do the searching, but Start page is the one that oversees your contact, and they don't share it. So if that's an appeal to you, you just go to your search engine and look for Start page. Nevertheless, I found several articles regarding this particular Surah chapter 4, verse 157, that says Jesus was not crucified, but that another was killed in his place. Actually, and we'll get to this hopefully later in the Sunday school lesson, the claim is that Judas Iscariot was crucified in his place. And the overall intention, I'm going to read some for you to quote it, but the overall intention is to say that this other person, and you know, some Muslim teachers don't agree that it was Judas Iscariot, it was just another man, but he took on the appearance of Jesus. And that's how it is that he could be crucified in his place. And Jesus himself, just alive, ascended up to heaven, according to the Muslim teaching. And so this one teacher here, there's no need for me to tell you the website I found it in. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore, and it wouldn't to you unless you went to search it. But there are 3, 6, 7 Muslim interpreters who give their opinion of what this is. So it'd be like commentator, okay? Just like we have various commentators who give their understanding and opinion of what a Bible verse means, okay? That's what this one's doing. And I'm going to try pronouncing the name. You don't know the name anyway, so if I butchered it, doesn't matter, okay? Thank you, Sister Ruth Ann, for that smile. Sahih International. And I'm quoting now. Indeed, we have killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but another was made to resemble him to them. And indeed, those who differ over it are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it except the following of assumption, and they did not kill him for certain. So that's one guy's way of saying it. Another one, Muhammad Sarwar, and their statement that they murdered Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of God, when in fact they could not have murdered him or crucified him. They in fact murdered someone else by mistake. Even those who disputed the question of whether or not Jesus was murdered did not have a shred of evidence. All that they knew about it was mere conjecture. They certainly could not have murdered Jesus. That's what another one says. And then Mohsin Khan, and because of their saying, we killed Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not, nor crucified him, but the resemblance of Jesus was put over another man, and they killed that man. And those that differ are in full doubts. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture, for surely they killed him not. And so that's what is claimed. And so What I'm going to do here is look at some prophecies of Jesus' fulfillment, but before I get to them, this pamphlet gives various testimonies as to the crucifixion of Jesus. And the one testimony, number 9 in the pamphlet, is the testimony of Judas Iscariot. And I read from the pamphlet, Muslim scholars relying on fraudulent Gospel of Barnabas. How many of you have ever heard of the Gospel of Barnabas? Pastor has, yes, and Brother Scott. This is, just as the pamphlet says, a fraudulent gospel. The dating of it goes back just to the 16th or 17th century. Some of the things in it come from another writing from the 15th century, but it calls it the Gospel of Barnabas, but it is in no way on the same level as the gospel that are in the Bible, okay? And so, but that is what some Muslims look to establish that it was Judas Iscariot, because that's what the Gospel of Barnabas claims. Now, again, I like to know that what's stated is so. You see, what I'm doing when I check it like this, I'm doing what Paul commended what church for doing. What church did he commend for checking him out?
Berea.
Berea. And he commended them for going and checking out what he said. Now, that's in the Bible. If I could remember where, I'd tell you. But and so that's what you're doing when you do this. You see? Now, we trust the people that stand in this pulpit, because we do not expect that pastor would bring into the pulpit people that were not reliable and trustworthy, right? But that doesn't mean that when you hear something you don't understand, it's okay for you to go and check it out.
Amen.
Okay? We've got 2 men coming up now for special meetings this month. And you will hear them preach every night. You know, during that time, they may say something you don't understand. Now, they might say something you just disagree with. Okay? Well, definitely then you want to go check it out. But if they say something you don't, if I say something you don't understand, you can come to me and ask me about it. Now, listen, I will not feel threatened. I will not think you are an awful person. Okay? I will try to explain why I said what I said, and if I cannot do it adequately, I will go check it out and come back to you. Or you can just yourself go check it out. See if what I've said is so. And so with that in mind, I went and looked up the Gospel of Barnabas. Now again, oh my goodness, there were so many pages and links about the Gospel of Barnabas, and you read them and okay, all right, I heard that, and then you go to another one. Oh, he must have read the first one because he's saying similar thing. And but I did find one that I was satisfied with. Now, I'm not sure who the guy is, Victor, and I all they give is his email address. And I don't know if it's Victor, middle initial A, and then Hansi, or I don't know if it's Victor Ahansi. I don't know. And I went to Wikipedia. I couldn't find him listed there, so I don't know who the guy is. The reason I printed out what he says about the Gospel of Barnabas is because he gives the most readable information to a non-Muslim about what the Muslims think of the Gospel of Barnabas. Okay, there were others there, probably more authoritarian than what his is. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure about him. Let me read this first paragraph. You'll see why. To draw a clear distinction between the Christian belief, if the events that occurred during the supposed crucifixion of Christ, now catch that word, supposed crucifixion of Christ, and that of the Islamic perspective, we see that these ideologies have one thing in common. They both stand that someone did die on the cross of, and I sure hope this is a typo, because if it's not a typo, it really calls into question. They both stand that someone died on the cross of Calvary. It's Calvary, okay? Now, I can see where it could be a typo, all right? And so I'll cut some slack in that expectation. These two reach a point where a conjecture could not be drawn, as Islam belief states that a man in the likeness of Christ was made to replace Christ, while the Christian beliefs hold that Christ himself died on the cross. And then he goes on to talk about what the gospel of Barnabas says and how it is to be accepted and believed. And so, you say, "What? I don't care about that." You know what? I don't either. But the Muslim religion is the fastest growing religion in the United States at the present time. And therefore, there are many things about the Muslim religion that are commendable as far as the standards they hold, some of the teachings that help to build character in people, okay? These are okay things, good things. But we have to understand the foundational things. Yes, I mean, Roman Catholicism has many good qualities about it. But the reason we don't accept it is because the foundational teachings of it are not scriptural. And that which is used and relied upon, it cannot be based on the Bible, but rather tradition and the teaching of men. And therefore, we don't follow it. Now, you probably don't have currently, you don't live in a neighborhood where you have many Muslim neighbors. And so your interaction may be at a store where you shop, or sometimes where a person works, they can meet Muslims. Maybe if, and I don't know if this one applies, but a parent that has children in a public school, then they may have, through parent organizations, some interaction with Muslims, okay? And I don't think you should treat them like the plague. I think you should be kind and demonstrate the true teachings of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, you need to know what are the foundational weaknesses. And this is one of them. Because our faith is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ died and rose again.
That's right. Amen.
And therefore, if they teach that he just, in a living form, was taken up to heaven, they say he went to heaven. They say he's the Son of God. Well, what more do you want? Yeah, well, they say that, but it's only in the line of others, and the last great prophet is Muhammad. So he's the one that matters. You see, and that's how they degrade or downgrade Jesus. And therefore, the teachings that Muhammad had are more significant because they are the last level of teachings that God gave to mankind through his prophet. And so they don't deny Jesus was a prophet. It's just they don't accept him as the Son of God and the final prophet. Now, Muslim scholars, relying on the fraudulent gospel of Barnabas, reading from the pamphlet, claim that Judas was crucified in the place of Jesus. Now, I say I'm reading from the pamphlet because I'm not, I don't want you to think that I spent hours and hours researching this in order to say this, okay? I want to give credit to the man who wrote it and from which I'm reading. It's my resource. I think I told you this before. And when I was in seminary, I got a paperback that we all had to write a paper on. I don't know what the subject was. And I got the paperback, and it said, this is an A paper. But he gave me a C. So I went up to the professor, and I says, I'm a little puzzled. I said, you say it's an A paper, but I got a C. That's because you did not quote primary or original sources. You just quoted second and third hand sources.
Yep.
Now, I trusted those second and third hand sources. They were reliable teachers of the Bible and the subject. But when you're writing on something, you need to make sure that you are yourself going to the original source. Hence the internet searches that I told you I was doing. I learned something from that experience in seminary, however many years ago it was. But, and this could not be true, that Judas took on the likeness of Jesus and was crucified in the place of Jesus. Because number one, it would make God a deceiver. Okay? We don't really need any more than that, though there are that I'm going to read. But it would make God a deceiver because God in the scriptures tells us that Jesus Christ was crucified. And then next, it would void the prophecy that Christ would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Okay? It would void that in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 12. It tells us that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. I was looking to see if I had, that is one of my things that I was going to read, and I see that I don't. But Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 12. And then that's fulfilled in Matthew 26:15, and it's quite familiar, so you probably are aware of it, and that Judas betrayed Jesus and was paid 30 pieces of silver so that when he was in the garden, he would identify Jesus Christ, and he did so with a kiss, the betrayal kiss. And that would have been voided. It would void the prophecy that the silver would buy a potter's field. You can read that in Zechariah 11:13 and Matthew 27:7, because Matthew says that Judas went out and did hang himself, and they took him, and with those 30 pieces of silver, they bought a spot in the potter's field. And Judas, and I think this, by way of logic, is one of the most compelling, Judas would have protested that he was not Jesus. He was going to get crucified. And, you know, why would he all of a sudden, the one he was going to betray, say, okay, I'll take his place? Not if you understand crucifixion. The pastor has described it adequately on more than one occasion. And there were no charges against Judas. And there was no trial for Judas. We said, well, you see, he took on the likeness of Jesus. And that was the trial. No, that doesn't cut it. And so the testimony of Judas would go against the idea that Jesus was not crucified. I also like history, and therefore the testimony of history is that Jesus Christ got crucified. And again, these are names that unless you're reading history in this period, you're probably not going to recognize, and they don't mean anything to you. I understand that. But I want to share them so that you understand that there is substance behind the claim that Jesus Christ was crucified. You say, well, it's in the Bible. That's enough for me. And it is for me also. But if you get into conversations with somebody who doesn't believe that, and boy, I wish our young people were in here now. They need to be listening to and learning these things because they will come face to face with people who will debate them. And I'm telling you, the average teen in churches today does not have the foundation of the substance necessary to stand up against the debating of the unbeliever. And so Cornelius Tacitus, who is considered to be one of the greatest historians of ancient Rome, he recorded Christ's crucifixion in detail in his annals that are contained in 18 volumes that he wrote. So this is not some guy taking a gum wrapper and jotting down a few things that he observed. I mean, this is a credible historian. And then there's Josephus. How many of you have heard the name Josephus? Yeah, many of you. Josephus is a first century Jewish historian who wrote the history of his people in 20 volumes. He beat Cornelius by 2 volumes, though that wasn't the goal. He recorded the account of the life of Christ. So he didn't just deal with the crucifixion. He wrote about the whole life of Jesus, his teachings, his miracles, and the detailed account of his crucifixion, which was ordered by Pontius Pilate. He mentioned also that Christ appeared to the disciples alive on the third day following it. So Josephus, who is looked to as a credible Jewish historian, recounted and kept record of the life of Christ, including details on the crucifixion. So friends, we who have faith in God and accept the word of God as the final authority, we do not need Josephus or Cornelius. Or at least many say they don't. But I know that it's not uncommon that a person has in the back of their mind that little wondering, how do we know that's really the case? They hear people question the writings of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Paul. Well, yeah, sure, but they, you know, they're on their side. You expect them to say that. Yeah, there's Christians, true born again, true followers of Jesus, true faith in Jesus, who accept the Bible as God's word, and yet, because they hear, like the devil in the garden, yea, hath God said? Yeah, God said. And he said it in the Bible. And Josephus, all Josephus did, all Cornelius did, all Lucian the Greek, he was a famous heathen historian who wrote scornfully about the crucifixion of Christ. But you see, Christ was crucified. He scorned it. He made mockery of it, but it happened. That's why he did that. And of the Christians, he wrote scornfully, who were willing to die for their faith. That's what history records. So you can absolutely know when people who are not on our side, I understand when somebody on our side says these things. You expect them to. And we should. We should expect them to. But you see, even people who are not on our side acknowledge what it is that we teach, what it is that the Bible presents to us. Friends, that is validation. That is substantiation. And that, my friends, is what we have in these sacred scriptures of ours. And also, and I'll come close to ending with this. Did you ever hear it put that way? I'll come close to ending. I never said it that way before. I don't know why. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, sent a full report of the crucifixion of Christ to Tiberius Caesar. And his report was one of the documents. Pontius Pilate wrote a report. That report was one of the documents with which Tertullian, who's he? He's a third century scholar. And he supported his famous, Tertullian supported his famous defense of the Christians. And he used the report of Pontius Pilate as proof that Jesus Christ was crucified. Friend, there's other testimonies regarding the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. What I've tried to share with you today are those parts that I felt you may not ordinarily read and be exposed to. Parts that will help you to understand that what you've been taught is true. Amen. And what you believe is true. Amen. And I realize you may not remember this. I understand you say, I remember Pastor Haney said, what was that guy's name? Okay, I remember he said that he wrote a report. Who was that now? I know how that goes, okay? I live there, I know how that goes. But you, just that you would know that such exists is of significant value to you. Your faith is all that you believe it to be. Father in heaven, thank you for today, for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the scriptures. It is true, Father, we need nothing more. And yet, you have allowed history.